Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Monday, October 10th, 2016. I am Jason Powell on ProWrestling.net today. My WWE No Mercy live review and hit list. Join me tonight for live coverage of WWE Raw, beginning with the pre-show coverage at 6:30, and then, of course, Raw itself at the top of the hour. Non-members coming up after the break. I'll be discussing the latest suspension of WWE's Paige, plus the No Mercy pay-per-view, and we will look ahead to tonight's WWE Raw. Hey, before we get to the Paige situation, right out of the gate today, I want to tell you guys that .NET members are listening to the 75-minute .NET Weekly audio show with former WWE personality Zeb Coulter, a.k.a. Dutch Mantel. He joined me on Friday to discuss the latest run that he had with WWE and got into some specifics there. We talked about how long it was before he actually had his first real conversation with Vince McMahon, what Vince McMahon said to him on night one, the arrest of Jack Swagger, and whether he feared that was going to completely derail their push, auditioning for the role of Zeb, much more on the WWE side. Plus, we talked about TNA and what hit the former TNA creative team member thinks about the current TNA product. Dutch just always a tremendous guest. It's not the first time we've had him on the show, but it's always a pleasure. And remember, if you sign up for membership, you can actually hear all of our audio content over the years, including those past appearances by Zeb Coulter, a.k.a. Dutch Mantel. The members are also listening to the 54-minute WWE No Mercy audio review that Jake Barnett and I recorded last night after the show, and they're going to be hearing my Q&A audio show coming up here shortly after we record this edition of the All Access Daily Show. If you're interested in membership to the ad-free version of ProWrestling.net, visit the main page. Once you're there, you will see the sign-up area. Get in there, three different pricing options, and the monthly rate is just $7.50. If you want to save some money, there is also a six-month option that will bring the price down. And, of course, that annual option brings the price down to an average of $5.50 per month. But, again, all the details available on the main page. Jump on it. Take advantage of it. Zeb Coulter joining me on the .NET Weekly Audio Show. Well, it happened again. WWE has suspended Paige for 60 days. It is now her second wellness policy violation in less than 2 months. She was first suspended in mid-August, and about a month later, she labeled that a procedural issue. This time around, she's implying that she had a prescription. She wrote on Twitter, "Same shit, different day. Kids, please don't get prescriptions or doctor's note. Not acceptable." And then she followed up with another tweet that read, "Rules apply depending on your status." And, you know, obviously, there's been some issues involving WWE Paige and her boyfriend, Alberto Del Rio, Alberto El Patron. Paige has told her side of the story following both suspensions. Del Rio did as well. But WWE doesn't offer more details beyond announcing the suspension. So it's kind of a one-sided story. And I wish WWE would say more, but it's just their policy that they don't. And we'll see if they break that policy in this case, but I kind of doubt it. Last week, though, he had the weird issue with Del Rio. He no-showed a AAA event, and then he ended up saying that he was stabbed. And AAA accepted this excuse and backed him. And then reports started to come out that it might not be up on the up-and-up completely. And then you also had the idea that, it sounds like he kind of changed his story from saying it was kind of something that was driving-related or outside of a restaurant or something. It just sounded like there were two different versions of the story that he's already told. And so, I mean, I don't even know what to believe there. But, I mean, I'll just say this. If these two are having issues, let's hope they get the help that they need. And I'll just leave it at that. WWE No Mercy took place on Sunday. Jake Barnett and I gave it we ended up both settling in on a C-minus grade, just kind of a slightly below average pay-per-view. It didn't mean there weren't some good things on this show. The Triple Threat main event match that opened the show was good. The Intercontinental title match, believe it or not, Dolph Ziggler stole the show. He talks about it a lot, but it's been a long time since I've actually felt like he's done that. But he and The Miz did that. They had a very good Intercontinental title match with Ziggler's career hanging in the balance, and I think that stipulation really helped them, really helped fans get into it. Fans totally behind that, and it was just a really fun match with good, believable near falls. I like the tag title match, even though I'm not crazy about the Usos losing again. I don't think too much damage was done. And it was nice to see Luke Harper return, but beyond that, Just kind of too much missable material that easily could have been on SmackDown. And, you know, Becky Lynch was sidelined from the show. She's out with a medical issue. They haven't gone into detail on that. But so she had to be replaced. And it would have been nice to see Becky on the show, obviously. But I don't know that that would have made or broke this show as far as, like, moving it from C-minus into C-plus territory or anything like that. I mean, she's talented. Don't get me wrong. But it just... They reshuffled things a little bit because of that. I think they were actually kind of hurt, I think, by the decision to move the triple threat match to the, you know, the actual show main event to the opening segment. And they haven't explained themselves. The suspicion that I had initially, and then I still do, is that they wanted more people to see that match. And so they wanted to make sure it was on before the U.S. presidential debate. The presidential debate started, it aired opposite the second hour of No Mercy and then beyond. I don't know how long it ended up going. I was slotted for 90 minutes, and I know it went beyond that. So that first hour was open as far as the U.S. presidential debate is concerned, and for that matter, open as far as airing opposite football. They were still doing the pregame show at the time that the match started. So I'm thinking that basically this was because of the U.S. presidential debate, and I get it. But I don't know that it helped this show any. Because, I mean, that match just kind of feels like a distant memory to me now, coming out of the show. And it just kind of the way the show was paced, I think we would have been left with a better taste in our mouth than we were by the actual, what became the main event, which was Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton. I mean, I think they made a mistake by not having the Intercontinental Championship match on last. And, you know, that's not me sitting here going, oh, well, you know, 2020 hindsight type thing. I mean, that was just what I assumed they would do, naturally. That's the one that you had the intriguing stipulation, and when they didn't go with it in the main event slot, if you read my live coverage last night, I even wondered, like, does this mean Ziggler's losing? Why wouldn't you put this on last? Because the only thought I had was, well, if he's losing, then I kind of get it, because you don't want to end the show on a downer note. And then they kind of did anyway with Bray Wyatt beating Randy Orton. It just wasn't nearly as good of a match. And, you know, Luke Harper returning was cool. Nice to see him back. I hope they have something better in mind for him than just being Bray Wyatt's, you know, kind of setup guy where you beat Luke Harper to get through Bray Wyatt, because that's what Eric Rowan kind of was. And Luke Harper's a talented guy. Unfortunately, it's going to be a while before we can get a true Wyatt family reunion, if that's a direction they want to go in. We broke the news last week that Eric Rowan he underwent surgery to repair a torn rotator cuff. And, you know, we don't know the extent of the damage, but typically it's a 4 to 6 month recovery time. And so I don't know if they made, because Harper was doing, he did the Raw live events over the weekend, and he'd been backstage at some Raw shows. And so it was kind of assumed that, oh, he must be Raw bound. And I don't know if that's WWE swerving people, and the plan was to have Harper show up on this show all along, and they just figured that would kind of, you know, confuse people a little bit. And if so, I applaud them for doing that. But I just wonder if, well, Rowan's out, and they kind of made a last-minute decision to add Harper here. I'm not sure what the answer is on that one, but I hope they have something good in mind for Luke Harper, because prior to his injury, he just unfortunately had been wasted, and very talented guy, so hopefully they're going to do something with him. I do want to mention that I am going to be appearing on the Jim Ross podcast that will drop on Tuesday night, and I'm sure we will be discussing the WWE No Mercy event along with tonight's Raw. Very curious to hear what JR has to say about No Mercy. I mentioned that in part because there will not be a member-exclusive audio review after Raw tonight. JR usually records in the hour leading up to Raw, or sometimes during the first hour of Raw. This time around, he asked me if it was cool if we just record after the Raw show. So I think the show will be a little more timely. And so I'm all for it. The only problem is that is usually the time that I'm recording the member-exclusive audio review of the show. The good news for you guys on the All Access side, though, is that I'm going to be by on Tuesday with another All Access review of WWE Raw. So no late night member show tonight, but certainly be by on Tuesday with the full review of WWE Raw. And speaking of Raw, here are a few things that I'll be looking for on tonight's edition. Number one, we know that WWE has officially announced Sasha Banks against Charlotte for the Raw Women's Championship as a Hell in a Cell pay-per-view match. There has been some speculation that this match could become an actual Hell in a Cell match and maybe headline the show. And so I'm curious to see whether that's the plan. Now, there was a time when I would have just kind of scoffed at the notion of women headlining in a Hell in a Cell match. and not headlining. So, well, I guess that too, because number one was the Divas, and it just was, you know, completely different. But the whole gut, blood and guts nature of Hell in a Cell, but it's changed so much over the years. You know, WWE is just, I mean, they're a family-friendly product, and with that, Hell in a Cell has changed. I mean, the only time it seems like you see blood is hard way, or Brock Lesnar hard way. They're kind of the same thing, but a little bit different. I think one's intentional and the other one is not. The other one is truly hard way. And so, I mean, it's not like you're going to go into Hell in a Cell match expecting the women to be bleeding and doing all the crazy spots off the top of the structure or anything like that. Only Shane McMahon does that now. And so, yeah, I mean, it's not the old school Hell in a Cell. It's just kind of a match that happens inside the structure. They might run people into it. So, I mean, I think they can make it work, but I would rather see the women close a show with a regular title match than a Hell in a Cell. But, I mean, again, I think they can have a good one, and so if they end up going in this direction, so be it. I think it's only a matter of time before they headline a show. I just want to see it be done for the right reasons, but looking at this lineup, do you want to see Rusev and Roman Reigns close the show in their Hell in a Cell match? I can't say that really appeals to me. I mean, they need to find a way to heat that program up somehow. And I don't know that it can be done enough to make that feel like a strong pay-per-view main event. The second thing on tonight's show, it was announced that Kevin Owens is going to be defending the WWE Universal Championship against Seth Rollins at Hell in a Cell. Is that match going to stick? It seems like they're setting up Chris Jericho to do something with Kevin Owens. And maybe that doesn't happen until after Hell in a Cell. But there's been speculation that could be a triple threat. And, you know, there's also been speculation that Chris Jericho could be leaving WWE again soon. And so that match, you know, whatever he's doing with Owens may play out sooner than we would think if he were going to be sticking around for a while. So if he does get added to this match, I'm curious to see if he is inserted as something of a wild card, where it's kind of the mystery of, is he going to align with Kevin Owens? Is he going to turn on him? And if they do that, I'm also curious to see if fans rally behind him to the point that it hurt Seth Rollins a little bit. Jericho received a huge pop last week when he just kind of threw out the mention of challenging for Owens' championship, and Seth has been kind of having a hard time connecting at this point. I don't think the fans turn on Rollins, but I just wonder if Jericho being, you know, turning babyface again and going after Owens would be the thing that people would be more interested in than whatever Seth Rollins is doing. So I find that one interesting. And I referenced it, the third thing I'm looking for tonight, how can they put some heat on Rusev? Because it seems like he gets the better of Roman Reigns, and then Roman Reigns finds a way to come back. Last week, Rusev made it all the way to the stage. It looked like Rusev was finally going to walk away standing tall. He had put down Roman Reigns, and he was going to walk away with a little heat. And then Roman Reigns somehow snuck up behind him on the stage and attacked him there. They need to, over the next couple of weeks, make Rusev feel strong. And I just, it seems like the easiest thing. But their booking of Roman Reigns is so strange, and I don't think they... I mean, I think at some point we'll see that, but I think they're leery of it. I think they always want to make Roman look as strong as they can, and he is not going to be laid out by as many heels as your typical babyface would be if they were setting up a match like this. So does that happen tonight? Do they realize that, you know, we can't just keep making Roman look strong because it already feels like a lopsided, is in terms of who's going to win and lose. To me, it's just like, well, Roman just won the championship, so I would assume he's going to win Hell in a Cell. I want them to, I don't know if they're going to be able to change that perception, but they need to at least put in an effort to make it seem like Rusev is a real threat to take back his championship. I don't know if there's an injury angle, just something needs to be done to make it seem like Roman Reigns is vulnerable heading into this match, because right now, I don't feel it. Finally today, do you want to help us spread the word about this podcast and ProWrestling.net? Do not say no, I can hear you. Just take a moment to subscribe to this daily podcast, rate and review us on iTunes. When I put out the Twitter link via @ProWrestlingNet, a simple retweet helps a lot. I really appreciate everyone who has taken one or more of those steps. And as I mentioned earlier, I will be back on Tuesday with an all-access, complete review of WWE Raw.